This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So we're on Yudalad Amud Beis, on the first piece of Gemara right after the Mishnah. So let's go through it again. The Mishnah told us that an Eved Ivri, that a Jewish slave, can be acquired bekesef. That the form of kinyan with which that change of status is made, and we talked last time about the power of a kinyan to change the status of an object, to change the almost one of the dimensions of the object, the dimension of ownership, applies also to human beings, that there are situations where human beings can be transacted. And that's the case of an Eved, which is an idea created by the Torah, that the concept of an Eved Ivri is feasible. An Eved Ivri is a different concept from an Eved Knani, and it exists for completely different reasons. So the idea, the concept we're dealing with here is the concept of Eved Ivri, of the Jewish slave. And we said that there were four different types of Jewish slave, if you remember. There's a Jewish slave, well, the one is the case of an Amo Ivriyo, a young Jewish girl who's sold by her father. The other is, the second is the case of a Mecharuhu Bezdin, where Bezdin sells a Jew into slavery because he cannot pay his debts caused by theft. So a person steals, can't repay the owner, has no money at all, has no assets. The only asset he's got is himself. The Torah creates a mechanism to monetize oneself. If that's the last asset you've got, if that's all you've got, there is a monetary value attached to yourself. Where else do we see a case of that, of monetary value attached to the self? You see it a bit with pidyon ha-bentisan, but erchin, it's clearly you see that there's an erich, that a human being has a monetary value, which is amazing, because it also ties to the idea that I often teach in business, is that it's wrong to say that something is qualitative and therefore can't be measured. Everything in Olam Hazeh can be measured. You've just got to find the way of translating the quality into something quantitatively measurable. Things don't have value in this world if they're not measurable. You have to be able to attach a measure to something to make it valuable in any way. And there are different ways that the Torah attaches value to things, but it always attaches value even to a human being. So, for example, there are other cases. Where else do you see monetization of the human being? We've got Erchin, we've got Avdus. Where else would you see monetization? Ketubah to some degree. Another area would be Nezikin, where you value where a person's damaged and you value how much he would have been worth. This way, in other words, you need the concept of Avdus to attach a value to damage. Otherwise, how do you evaluate damages for a human being? And the Torah doesn't go crazy like the courts do nowadays, just picking a number out of the sky somewhere. At the end of the day, value is what you could sell yourself as. And so it's a net present value of your future. It's not just what your labor could be worth, because who knows whether you'll land, how long you'll end up working for. And the courts struggle with this today. So somebody says, I've been disabled, and therefore I need 40 years of work I need to be paid. Who says you're going to work for 40 years? So then they make an average person of your thing would have lived for another 30 years, so you can get 30 years of... Who says? What's it based on? So the basis is a market. We create a market in human beings. That's the only way you can attach value to a human being. And if there's no value to a human being, there's no nezek. So you need the principles of avodim to create measurable value to a human being to give meaning even to nezikin. There are other reasons also for avodim, but that's one of them. It creates, it monetizes human value.
Nezikin uses avodim as the benchmark?
Yes, how much you could have been sold for had you not been damaged, and how much you would be sold for now, and the difference is the damage.
So if you were the CEO of a Fortune 100 company and you got injured, you wouldn't be valued based on that, you'd be valued based on your slave value.
Yes, because, I don't know how much lower. How much would you pay to get Bill Gates as your slave?
Right.
You know, some people would pay quite a lot. Somebody would, well, if you had Bill Gates as a slave, you're not going to ask him. You're not going to ask him to clear out the garbage.
Right.
If you had Bill Gates as your slave, you would have him build up companies and innovate ideas. And so each an avid, we think of an avid as a laborer, not necessarily a laborer. It's any way of monetizing the value of the human contribution. So a human being can contribute. He can choose to be paid as a wage. He can choose to create his own business and trade, or he can choose to sell it up front and to sell him his ability to contribute, to sell that up front, where the buyer takes the risk. So you build the risk in. There's a risk that he might die early. There's a risk that he might get injured. That all gets built in to the value. That's why avidus is such a perfect way of evaluating, because it takes into account all the averages and it takes the statistic. You don't need actuaries. The market is its own actuary. So if there's a market in something, that takes all these things into account. So we can work out what a human being is worth. And you might say, but that's demeaning to talk about the value of a human being. It's not. Everything has to have a measurable. Everything has to have a measurable value. At the end of the day, you can measure. Everything has to have a measurable value. In olam hazeh, talking about olam habo, that's different. That you can't measure. You don't need measures in olam habo. But in olam hazeh, you've got to work with measures all the time. You've got to work with measures. So the Mishnah tells us that the Torah creates this idea of Eved. And we've got to, it's important to appreciate it that way. This is not the Torah responding to a social reality. That's not the way the Torah works. And Torah is not a book of laws. It wasn't that there was a reality and it responded to the reality. Don't forget the Torah was created long before the world was created. So the very concept of Avdus was created before society was created. Society, the Torah's laws of Avdus is not a response to a social reality. The Torah created the idea of Eved Ivri. And now we've seen one idea of why it's necessary to create Eved Ivri. It's necessary to create a market in Avodim in order to create a measurable value of the human being so that we can make calculations with respect to Nezikin and all sorts of other things. Otherwise, it would be very difficult to operate. That being the case, an Eved Ivri, what is the kinyan of an Eved Ivri? So that an Eved Ivri has a price, I understand, that we have monetized the human being by creating the idea of Eved. I understand that. But who says that the fact that he's nikneh bekesef, which is what the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Eved Ivri, nikneh bekesef minalon, where do we get that from? Where does that come from? So I mentioned last time that our primary text is the Gemara and Rashi. The Gemara's primary text is the Mishnah. So the Gemara doesn't say, where do you know from that there's an Eved? You know from the Chumash that there's an Eved. You don't have to ask that. But when the Mishnah makes a statement of an Eved Ivri Nikneh Bekesef, the Gemara wants to know, Eved Ivri Nikneh Bekesef, Minalon, where does that come from? And bear in mind that when the Gemara deduces from the Torah, these aren't deductions that we would have been able to make if we didn't have the Torah Shebaal Peh. The power of deduction is almost too distant. I don't think that we would have been able to work the whole Torah Shebaal Peh out just if we had the Shlosh Esrei Midos and the Torah. We had to be given the Torah Shebaal Peh. This is the Torah. This is the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Shlosh Esrei Midos, the 13 principles of logic, is how this links to that. But we're given both. And that's why the Torah Shebaal Peh is a primary text. It's not that the primary text is the Chumash and we work it out from the Chumash. No, the primary text is the Ishas, Mishnah and Gemara. For the Gemara, the primary text is Mishnah. What the Limudim, the reason we track it back to the Chumash is for divine origin. That's what we want to be sure all the time, that this law is a divine law. Because if it's not, then everything changes. It would be like any other legal system. So the whole power of Torah results from its divine source. And we'll see many examples of that, what we spoke about on Shabbos, the difference in the moral obligation that in secular law, well, we spoke about it, I think, when we were doing the Tzitzah Choshen, that's why we were speaking about it. Is that right? When we said that in secular law, in a secular world, in a godless world, there's no such thing as a moral obligation. What is a moral obligation? What obligates you? There's no such thing. So there needs to be a divine connection just to understand the principle of being morally obligated, which in Torah is to be Chayav Bidei Shemayim, where Shemayim says, where Hashem says, this is something that you're obligated to do. So here too, the Gemara will always link the Torah Shebaal Peh back to the Torah Shebichtav, so that we know what the divine origin of the law is and where the divine origin of the law is. But it's not that's where we would have it. And that's why you'll see that these linkages are quite tenuous. If we were just relying on them, I don't think we would have worked this out ourselves from the Chumash, but certainly now that we know the law from our primary text, which is the Mishnah and Gemara, and we have the Chumash, we can explore the connection. So you can try and imagine a power connection between them, and we want to know where this wire, like if you're taking a computer to pieces and all the wires are all over the place, you want to know where is this one connected to this and where is this one connected to that, so that you know the workings of halacha. That's what we're really looking at, is we're looking at the electronics of halacha when we ask minalon, where does it come from? That's not for divine origin, that's just for authority.
Right.
Who says? That's just that you're saying something, we don't have a source for this, where does it come from? But if we're looking at a mitzvah of the Torah, we're always going to want to track it back to somewhere in the Chumash, using the Shlosh Esrei Midos. The Shlosh Esrei Midos are really reverse engineering. The Shlosh Esrei Midos tell you how to track the Torah Baal Peh back to the Torah Shebichtav. The Shlosh Esrei Midos are not there to tell you how to extrapolate from Torah Shebichtav into Torah Baal Peh. And that puts, when you understand that, it puts the death knell on, you know, a whole conservative movement, and in some ways even part of the modern Orthodox movement, who would like to make up new laws based on the Torah, based on the Chumash. Torah is not our primary text. We don't make up laws from the Torah. Nothing comes from the Torah. Everything comes from Shas. Everything comes from the Gemara. All that we do is the divine origin comes from the Torah, and we usually use Shlosh Esrei to track back from Gemara. But if you don't accept Gemara as the primary text, you're not a Torah Jew. That's the difference between Christianity and Judaism. Christianity accepts the Chumash as primary text. We accept the Gemara is primary text. And the problem is, with the whole conservative movement in between, Reform and all of those guys, the whole problem is, how can we want to be Jews, but without Gemara's primary text. You're actually not. Without Gemara's primary text, you're not that. That's what Sinai means. When we talk about Sinai, it's the divine origin, that's Chumash as the source, as the power behind the halacha, and Torah Shebaal Peh is the primary text. That's what Sinai means. So now let's see what the Gemara answers. Omar Kro, Mikesef Miknosa. It simply says that when you calculate, if an Eved Ivri who's been sold to a non-Jew is going to be redeemed and bought back before his time is up, then you've got to calculate how many years are left for him to work. Im Oid Rabbeis Pashonim, if there's still many years, Lefihim Yoshiv Geulosu, then according to that, he must return the amount of money to be paid for his geula, for his redemption, mikesef miknosoi, from the money by which, and you'll remember in the last year we said, but the money, not with which he was bought, but by which he was bought, meaning not the price that was paid for him, but miknosoi is kinyan, the kesef that was used as a kinyan. So from that you see the Torah origin of the word, of the idea that kesef is the kinyan. Now there again, it would be very hard, in fact it would be completely impossible, if all we had was the pasuk, to say, because the word, the Torah says, mikesef miknoso, that means that an Eved Ivri can be nicknamed a kesef. You wouldn't be able to make that assumption. Maybe kesef miknoso simply means the price that was paid for him, and the kinyan was shtar. You wouldn't even know anything about kinyonim, but leaving that aside, even if you did know about kinyonim, you would not know that mikesef is miknosa. But now that we know from the Mishnah that kesef that an Eved Ivri is nikneba kesef, where do we see a link to that in the Torah? Where can we connect our cables to something in the Torah that says that? And we see the word kinyon is used in the case of an Eved Ivri Animka Legoi, where a Jew sells himself to a non-Jew. The word kesef miknoso is used, melamed shenikne bekesef. That teaches us that the kinyan for the Eved was kesef. Says Rashi, remember, use your two fingers, keep one on the Gemara and one as the Rashi, because the primary text is both. Mikesef miknoso, be'eved ivri hanimkar lo'eved k'chovim hakosuv medaber, says Rashi. Mikesef miknoso, that posuk is talking about an Eved Ivri who sold to a non-Jew. As it says, if a ger and a toshav gets enough money to buy a Jewish slave, then that is the din. So now the Gemara says, Ashkechan Eved Ivri Hanimka Lo Eved Kechol. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the whole piece of Gemara, and it won't be very clear in the beginning unless you've learnt it well before. But so I'm going to read it as it stands, and then we'll fix it up. Then we'll go and connect it and take it to pieces and make it make sense. But first, let's see what it says. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Eved Ivri Hanimka Lo Eved Kechovim. You'll remember we said there are four types of Avodim. Amo Ivrio, a Jew sold to a non-Jew, a Jew sold by Beis Din to a Jew, and a Jew sold by himself to a Jew. So a Jew to Jew, Beis Din sells, he sells himself. Jew to non-Jew, he can only sell himself. Beis Din doesn't do that. And an Amo Ivri, or the father sells. Those are the different cases of Eved. So says the Gemara, Ashkechan Eved Ivri Anim Kalo Eved Kichovim. I accept that Kesef Miknoso, it tells me that Kesef is a Kinyan. But that's only in the case of a Jew selling to an Eved Kichovim. Hoyil v'chol Kinyono b'Kesef. Because that's the only way a non-Jew can do a Kinyan. There's a whole discussion about whether that is so or it isn't, but let's accept it at the moment that it is, that the only Kinyan that a non-Jew has is Kesef. He doesn't have Meshicha. Meshicha is the way we would normally buy an ox or an animal. We would do Meshicha, we would pull the animal. And if it walks a little bit because of the force that we are exerting on the animal, that's a Kinyan. So one would think that's a possible Kinyan for a slave, put a leash around his neck and pull him a little bit, and if he takes a few steps, you've been kohen the Yevet. Maybe that would be the Kinyan Meshicha, but a Goy doesn't have Kinyan Meshicha, and therefore, maybe that's why he has a Kinyan Kesef. In other words, the Gemara is saying, Kinyan Kesef might not be a din in the laws of Eved. This might simply be a din in the laws of a Goy, of buying and selling, and the Goy only can buy and sell. So we've got to see all the time, what the Gemara is seeking is Kinyan Kesef endemic to Avdus? Is it really an essential part of the laws of an Eved? Or are there extraneous reasons for it? Is what the Gemara wants to analyze. So maybe the fact that Kesef Miknoso, you bring me an example from a case of a Jewish slave selling himself to a non-Jew, that's the only Kinyan that's available, but it might have nothing to do with the laws of Avdus. How do we know that even if he sold to a Jew, Kinyan Kesef would work? Back to Rashi. Since all the Kinyan of a non-Jew is in Kesef, because in the case of Metaltelin, the Goy is not given the din of Meshicha. The din of Meshicha that you can do a Kinyan Meshicha from Yad to Yad, and according to some, the din Meshicha is that you hand the rein over to the from one person to another, but that's only said Miyad Amitecho, that you'll do that from the hand of your fellow, of your friend, which means a fellow Jew. And the Goy isn't included in that. Lefichach Eved Nikne Lo B'Kesef. So the Goy has no choice but to buy B'Kesef. How do we know that a Jew can do that too? Omar Kro. So the Pasuk says, Vehefdo. We learn from an Amo Ivrio where it says Vehefdo. What's the Pasuk there? Imro o be'enei Aduneho asher lo yo'odo. If her master doesn't like her, she doesn't appeal to him. And therefore he's not miyayed her, which means he doesn't marry her, nor does he marry her off to his daughter, his son. Vehefdo, then she can redeem herself. La'am nochri lo yimshu lamochro bevigdoivo, and she shouldn't be sold on a second time to anybody else. She can redeem herself. Vehefdo is from the word pidyon. But the word hefdo is interesting because the word hefdo is a transitive verb. It's in fact a causative verb. Vehefdo means he causes her to have redemption. That's what Vehefdo really means. Melamed shemegaras pidyonah v'yotza. That teaches us that she deducts the value of the pidyon and she goes. Let's look at Rashi. Shemegaras pidyonah midaloiksiv v'nifto. Since it doesn't say v'nifto, v'nifto would be, or v'niftes. V'nifto is the nifal form, the passive form. She can be redeemed. Instead it says vehefto, mashma vehefto, that he must redeem a sha'af ha'bal misayah b'fidyono ha'adun. The owner, the master, has to participate in this act of pidyon. Amma b'kesef nikne, the eloi kana abadomi may megara. So he's got to be active. What does he do? He does it by discounting the price that she has to pay him. So if she was going to work for 3 years and she paid him 300, and now after a year he says, I'm not going to marry you, and my son is not going to marry you, and she says, in that case, I would like out. So he has to say, so theoretically, she's got to return the 300. And he's got to say, no, you only have to return me 200. So he discounts the amount and says, you've worked for a year. So he participates in that act of giroy and gives her back the money for which she's already worked. So, and so there, what do we see? That he's got to give back money. Why does he got to give back money? Because he gave money. Now, of course, the question comes the same as we had before. Who says that's the money of the pidyon? Who says that that's the money of the kinyan? Maybe that's just money for the price. Again, let's have a look at the case. How do I know that a kinyan kesef applies to a amoivrio? Because it says when she leaves, he must participate in the act of pidyon. What does that mean? He's got to forego some of the money that he gets back. Why is he getting back money? Because he gave money. Oh, you see, kesef was the kinyan. So the Rishonim asked, but who says kesef was the kinyan? Maybe shtar was the kinyan, and kesef was the price. Where do we see, where does Rashi see that kesef was the kinyan? So the Tosfos HaRosh answers, and we'll go with that answer for the moment. The Tosfos HaRosh says, we learn that from the previous one, from the Eved Anim Kalagoy. There we saw Kesef Miknosoi. That was also teaching us the Din of Pidyon. So where do we have the Din of Pidyon stated in two cases? A Jew is sold to a non-Jew. There's a mitzvah of Pidyon. Get him out, pay him, buy him back. Should buy himself back. His relative should buy him back. Somebody should buy him back. And in that it says Kesef Miknosoi. That's Kesef Kinyan. In the case of the Amo Ivri, it doesn't say Kesef Miknosoi, but it says Vehefto. That same principle of Pidyon that applies to the Eved, Anim Kelegoi, applies to the Amo Ivri as well. And that means, just as that was from a Kinyan Kesef, this one is also from a Kinyan Kesef, and that's how we work it out. So we still need the first one. So let's think how we've learned so far. We've learned from a slave who sold to a non-Jew, we've learned Kesef Miknosoi means the original Kinyan was Kesef. How do we learn it? Because pidyon, by pidyon it says kesef miknosoi. In the case of an amo ivriya, she can also do pidyon. She can also do pidyon, and the owner must give back, must reduce some of the money. Which money does he reduce? The money for which he originally paid. Maybe that wasn't kinyon. We know from kesef miknosoi that is kinyon. That's the way the
Tosfos
HaRosh.
Amo ivriya is only with
the Jewish? Amo ivriya has to be to a Jewish owner. Right. So although it's a completely different case, the only similarities between Amo Ivrio and, let's examine, what are the similarities between an Amo Ivrio and a Nimka Lagoi? What are the similarities?
The
pidyon. Well, the fact that the Torah says in both cases pidyon. They should both be redeemed in the Amo Ivrio. In the case that, in other words, there is a negative. The only reason we sold a girl to the man is with the hope of marriage. If there's no hope of marriage, the right thing is to get her out of there. The same with a man who sells himself to a goy. He does it because he's desperate. If there's somebody who can buy him out, get him out of there. That's not a good thing to be. So in both those cases, we try and get them out. We use pidyon. And from the laws of pidyon, we learn that kinyan is the kesef. That the kinyan is kesef. That the way they were originally bought is the kinyan. That it certainly can be.
Because you can still have shtar.
Well, we'll have to find out who says. How do we know we can have shtar? You're right. The Mishnah says you can have shtar, but the Gemara is going to ask further on, well, who says you can have shtar? Where do you know from that you can have shtar? So right now we see that you can have kesef.
Does the Torah not have a regular case with a Jewish slave sold to a Jewish owner that you can learn?
Yes, we're going to come to that one too. And we're going to see the relationships and why we're learning. Because really what we want to find out, what we really are exploring in this Gemara is, are these four ideas of Avdus four separate concepts? Did the Torah create four different concepts, subsets under the set of Avodim? Or is it all one idea? And Kinyan is going to be one of the things that will inform that decision. Is this Kinyan all the same all the way through, and they just have different formats? Or is it a completely different thing? So for example, when we talk about Metaltalin, It doesn't matter if I buy a pen or I buy a watch or I buy a notebook. It's the same principles of kinyan. So they're little subsets. Each one's it's a different object, but the halakhic principle is the same. What about with the avodim? When I buy an eved ivri or I buy an amo ivri or an eved sells himself to a goy, is the same thing happening? Is it the same process? Just different objects? Different buyer, different seller, different object being sold? Or is this completely different? Each of these are four discrete concepts that follow their own rules altogether.
Why would you just think that they're discrete concepts?
Well, so let's look at the ones we've done so far. What could be discrete about an eved animkar legoy? The fact that a goy can't be koneh any other way. So the kinyan kesef that applies there is designed specifically for the goy. So we could say an eved ivri, hanimka legoy, is a different concept because goyim can't buy avodim the way Jews can. So we've got to create a special kinyan for him. That was the havamin of the Gemara. Maybe we have to create a special concept called an eved hanimka legoy, who's nikneh bekesef, and that's an idea on its own. And the Gemara is now going to say maybe an amo ivri is different too. What's an amo ivri different? Let's look at the next piece. Ashkechan amo ivriya. Okay, so you've bought me amo ivriya. Hoyolu mikadsha bekesef, mikanya bekesef. She's a woman, and women can be acquired with money through in kiddushin. We know that money works with women for kiddushin. Eved ivri minanam, but maybe not for men. So what would we be saying here? Maybe when an amo ivriya is sold, she's sold as an option on kiddushin. What is, because that's really what it is in a kind of a way, isn't it? The owner takes an amo ivriyo and he's bought an option, so maybe it's simply an option in kiddushin. Maybe this has got nothing to do with avodim.
That's interesting for the pigeon side of things, because then it's really he's just
paying back.
By him saying I don't want it, then he loses his option, right? He loses his premium, or he's selling his premium to somebody else that wants.
But he doesn't sell it, he gives it back. He basically gives up on the option. Yeah. So he could wait out till his option time and then it just expires. Or if he gets out of it earlier, he has to return money. If it's an option on kiddushin, then it's a discrete concept. So then we have one idea of a man sells himself to a goy. That's an eved ivri animka legoy, nikne bekesef. That's one little package of a concept. Now there's a Jewish girl whose father sells her to a person. That's an amo ivri. That's not avdus. That's an option on kiddushin. Maybe that's separate. So in each case we're saying maybe these are just separate discrete laws that don't have any commonality with respect to the kinyan kesef. Says the Gemara. Omakro ki yemoche lecho achicho ha-ivri o ha-ivriyo. If a man is sold to you, whether he's a man or a woman, he can work for you a maximum of 6 years. In the 7th year, he should be sent away free. So you see, when the Torah says ha'ivri or ha'ivriya, ba'avod choshesh shonim, makish ivri le'ivriya, we have what we call a hekesh, where the Torah specifically links two ideas together. Ha'ivri or ha'ivriya, they put in one phrase, and therefore we're saying that's one packaged idea. A male slave and a female slave is one idea. So now we know a male slave and a female slave is one idea, and we know a female slave is nicknames bekesef. We know it's not because she's a woman, because the same applies to a man. And where does it come from? How do we know that's from Vehevdo? And where do we know from Vehevdo? From the original case of Nimka Legoy. Let's have a look at the Rashi again. Ashkechon amo evriyo de mekanya bekesef. V'hadin noisen. And it's logical to say you don't need psukim. Since she can be acquired by kiddush, for kiddushin with kesef, she can be acquired, the option of kiddushin, which is the amo ivriya, can be acquired by kesef too. But how do we know that the same will apply with a man? So we have a hekesh. So now let's see what is the construction we're building. So from a slave is sold to a goy, we learn the principle of kesef miknosa. This kesef miknosa applies not only to him, but to anybody who has pidyon. Who else has pidyon? An amo ivriya. So an amo ivriyo also has pidyon, and therefore she too, when she gives back money to the owner, is giving back the money from the kinyan. The same as in the slave eved ivriyo, nimke legoy, the money he's giving back is money from the kinyan. So the money that she's giving back is money from the kinyan. So that's eved nimke legoy. Then an amo ivriyo.
So that proves that you can buy ima ivriyo
with kesef. And it's not because she's a woman and it's really just an option on kiddushin, because we know she has the same din as an eved ivri who sold to a Jew. because of the hekesh of Ivri or Ivriya. And that's talking about sold to a Jew. So we've now got three of the four cases worked out. Eved Hanimkar Legoy, Amo Ivriya, and Eved Ivri Hanimkar Leisrael. Says the Gemara, we've got one last step in this process. Ashkechon Mecharuhu Bezdin, I understand that an Amo Ivriyo and an Eved Hanimkar, a Jew who's sold to a Jew, fall into the same set. Hoyel v'nimkar bal kercho, because he's sold by force. And therefore he has something in common with the Amo Ivriyo. The Amo Ivriyo is sold by her father, and the Mecharuhu Bezdin is sold by Bezdin. So that, I understand, that might be a discrete set. So now what we have now, two sets with overlap. You can think of two circles overlapping. The one set is Eved Ivri Animka Lagoy and Amo Ivriya. What's common about them? They both have Pidya. The other set is Amo Ivriya and Beis Din selling a Jew to a Jew. What's common about them? They both sold Baal Koch. So now all three are linked. Eved Ivri Animka Lagoy, a Jewish slave sold to a non-Jew, is linked to Amo. And Amo is linked to that, and Amo is also linked to Machruah Beis Din, where Beis Din sells him to another Jew, because it's Machruah Bar Kocho. Both cases, they're Bar Kocho. So if you can picture it that way, like links of a chain. So you've got the first one, we understand, that's a principle. Non-Jew, so you sell a slave sells himself to a non-Jew, it's Kesef. Is that just because it's a non-Jew? No, because an Amo Ivriya is also a Kesef. So it's not just because he's a non-Jew. Oh, but maybe Amo Ivriya is because, maybe that's because he's a non-Jew, and Amo Ivriya is because she's a woman and she's being sold in Kiddushin. No, we've got Ivriya Ivriya. So we see that the fact that there's Kesef in each of those three is not because anything discrete about the three, but because of a common denominator that goes through them. Notice that the Gemara, maybe it's not a common denominator in all three. Because what is the common denominator in all three? Avdus. If we would say it's the common denominator in all three, we would have established that Kesef is a Kinyan. But we're still trying to say this might be exceptional. So the exception here would be to say that there are two exceptions. The one case is where there's pidyon, and the other case is where there's a sale by force. In those two cases, that we understand that kesef is used. So sold to a non-Jew is used because the Torah says pidyon. Amo Ivriya kesef is used because the Torah says pidyon. Machru Beis Din, if Beis Din sells him to somebody else, there's Kesef, because it's like Amo Ivriya is being sold by force. So maybe where you're either sold by force or you're sold to a non-Jew, there has to be a Kinyan Kesef. But that does not mean that if a Jew sells himself willingly to another Jew, that in a sense is the most refined form of Avdus, isn't that? It's willing, he does it by himself. The Torah gives him the right to sell himself to a fellow Jew who can buy him. So Torah gives the right to both the Jew and the buyer and the seller to trade in a Jewish slave, not because Beis Din is forcing it, but it's not like some kind of prison sentence. He's able to do it by his own free will. A person can wake up one morning and just decide, sorry?
The purest kind of transaction.
It's the purest kind of transaction. A person can wake up one morning and say, I want to be an Eved to my next door neighbor, a nice Jewish next door neighbor. And he can go and he can make a transaction. That's the biggest chiddush of all, that you can do that. You can sell yourself out of desperation to a non-Jew. That's not such a chiddush. Non-Jews trade in slaves. So a non-Jew is willing to buy you. Maybe the non-Jew can buy you. Go and sell yourself to a non-Jew. That an Amo Ivriya can sell herself, that a father can sell his daughter to another person. Not such a big chiddush. He can marry her off to the person. So this is kind of giving him an option. That Beis Din can sell somebody to another Jew is not such a big chiddush. That's like a prison sentence. The man's stolen. He can't pay. He goes into Avdus. But that one Jew can just for no reason just willingly go and sell himself to another Jew. Who says you can use Kesef for that Kenyan?
When you do the Hekesh between Ivriya and Ivri, that's only for Ivri that the Beis Din?
Yes, that the Beis Din sells.
Why do they assume it's that case?
Because that's the case that that is brought. Yeah, that's the case that is brought. That posuk is talking about a case where the man has no money and he sells. We can have a look in the Chumash and see them. So, but what about a person, Moicher Atzmo Minalon? How do you know if a person sells himself? Answers the Gemara, Yalif Sochir Sochir. So here we have what we call a Gzeira Shava. And that is when there are different types of gzeira shovas, but sometimes the gzeira shova is quite conceptual. Gzeira shova in principle means that an odd word is used, a word that's a little unusual is used in two different places. It's unusual in the context. The word doesn't have to be an unusual word, but in the context it's a little unusual. It's used in two different places. Teaches us that the laws of the two places are transferable one to the other. So it's like a kind of a hyperlink. Gzeira shova. And again, we wouldn't necessarily work these things out just because otherwise you could say it says S in one place and it says S in another place, and therefore you can say one from the other. We can't make up our own gzeira shovas. It's just a way of tracking a law in the primary text, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, back to the divine source of the Torah, and gzeira shova is one of the ways we do that. And sochir is a principle, is a gzeira shova. That means the word sochir, which means a hired hand, is used to describe a Jew a slave who the Beis Din sells to a Jew, and the same word is used to describe a slave who sells himself to a Jew. And that's a strange word, sochir, because you're an eved, you're not a sochir. You're an eved. Why are you called a sochir? So there are various reasons for that, but it's used in both places. So the Gzeira Shova says, therefore, the laws are the same. So what have we got now? We've got to listen to the Rashi on that. Macharu Beis Din b'gnev osoy. Beis Din sells him because he stole. Dechi yim macher al yedei acheri mashma, because that he be sold implies be sold by someone else. And it's logical. And I understand that the kinyan would just be a kesef without any need to actually take hold of the person and do a kinyan chazokah. Since there's a lighter side to it, it's an easier side of avdus to understand that he's sold by force. But what about a person who sells himself? When a person sells himself, it says, he should be treated like a hired hand. And when Beis Din sells a person, he's also talked about a schar sachir, that he gets his paid as if he were a hired hand. And so the word sachir is used in both cases, teaching us that there's something common about the two cases where the Beis Din sells a Jew or the Jew sells himself. There's an element of sochir, of being a hired hand, and therefore it's the same. So now we go through and we say, well, all four cases, kinyan kesef applies, and therefore kinyan kesef is fundamental to the laws of avodim, though not because of any extraneous reason. That part of the definition of an eved is a human being who can sell himself on the slave market for money, and that kesef can be the actual kinyan that we learn. So how is it learned? It's learned from kesef miknosi of the Jew sold to a non-Jew. From there we go to amo ivrio sold of a Jewish maidservant because of a heftor. From there we go to ha'ivri ha'ivrio, that includes a Jew sold to another Jew by the Beis Din, and from there we go to a Jew who sells himself to another Jew because of the gzeira shova of sochir, teaching us that all these four different categories form one unit, and the unit is eved. What did we find? That they weren't all brought in the same parts of halacha. What did we find? Which ones are brought where? And was it the Rambam or Shulchan Aruch that we found the difference? That was about Eved Knani, but all these four avodim were in the same place. Amo Ivri, or Eved Ivri Anim Kalagoy, Eved Ivri Anim Kal Yisrael, were all in Yoredeh. Which shows that that you're changing the status of the person, that in all these cases the status of the Jew changes. He's different chiyuvim as far as mitzvahs are concerned. The Eved is a different category, and that's why we say in the morning, Asher Shelo Yosani Goy, Shelo Yosani Isho, Shelo Yosani Ovid, Shelo Yosani Isho. These are different categories of people that have different, completely different halachas. The only thing is that a Goy is born a Goy, an Isho is born an Isho, that used to be the case until recently, And but an eved you can make yourself an eved. You can decide what it be. You want to change your status, you can do it by avdus. You can't do it as a Jew, at least can't become a goy, and a male can't become a female, and a female can't become a male. But if you are absolutely intent on changing your status, you can become an eved. If you like it so much, you can become an eved.
So it's hekesh of ivri to ivriya. Shouldn't the hekesh only works where it's shaykh to work? So for example, siman if not shaykh. So how did the Gemara make the link here? She would, and have a mina was kiddushin. But
right.
Maybe on it said kiddushin. So you say, okay, so maybe on that side it wouldn't work for ivri. Because on that side of kesef, there's no hekesh. There's no limud back.
Sorry, just explain again. So you want
the Avamina was kiddushin, so right. Maybe it works only because of kesef, because she's got a tzad kiddushin. He hasn't got a tzad kiddushin. But maybe the hekesh doesn't work in that case. Not a complete hekesh that works in all cases. Simonim doesn't work as a hekesh.
You're saying who says that you can learn the hekesh for kinyan kesef? That's why I say that with all these limudim, that you can't work it out from the chumash. The you've got to start with the primary text being there is kinyan kesef.
How's the Gemara make that link?
That's part of the Tosha Bapet, to be able to say that that's
it. It's not a svara. The svara breaks
no.
down.
No, there's no way that there can be a hechref to say that because it says ivri ivriyo, it's for kinyan kesef.
So that element of the hechref is axiomatic.
Yes.
We make kabbal that as axiomatic.
And yes.
And the greater problem is when you say that it's for kinyan kesef, how do you know that? And not you say that's it. But that this Gemara says that... we understand that there's a link every year. The fact that link is only a link for kesef is fine. But once how that link is broken, because there's no such thing as kinyan kesef or amivriya, other than kinyan kesef for kedushin.
That's the starting side of the link.
Right, and it doesn't work. But I'm saying it doesn't work.
But what doesn't work?
To say that ivriya is a link, and Torah Shabbat Peh, we learn that's kesef.
Right.
Fine. But there has to be something that is linking. There has to be kesef at the start. There's no kesef.
That's thinking the other way around. It's linking. There's kesef by. It's kesef by. I understand what you're asking. It's kesef by amo ivriya. That we know. The question is, what is the nature of that kesef? Is it kesef kiddushin? Is it kind of me'ain kesef kiddushin? Is an amo ivriya a variation on kiddushin, or is it a variation on avdus?
Okay.
That's the issue. The Hekesh tells us it's a variation on Avdus. The Hekesh tells us that Namo Ivriya is an Eved. She's not an option on Kiddush. That's what it tells us. That by definition, she is an Eved. A female Eved. That's what she is. And they're different. The reason you sell her and all of that, that's different things. But her status, she moves from the category of, there are not four different statuses here. There's one status. And that's Eved Ivri. And an Eved Ivri, whether you're an Amo, or a Nimka Lagoy, or a Machrul Bezdin, your status is the same. They all have slightly different colors, and slightly different flavors, but the status, there's only one status. That's what's important about this Gemara. And the next piece of Gemara challenges that. What's important about this piece of Gemara is we've come to the conclusion that there's one status, not four. And Amo Ivri is part of that one status. Whereas the Havamina is maybe she isn't part of it. But the Kesef teaches us some human being that can be acquired. But Kinyan Kesef is an Eved of a certain category. That means you can transact in him.
The Hekesh is very logical also, because in the Pasuk talking about Avdus, it talks about Ivri or Ivriya right next to each other. So it seems to make sense that they would look in the same category of an Eved instead of having the woman as part of the Kesef.
Yes. Oran's question is, but it doesn't apply with all the laws of Avdus. We won't say that all the laws, because there are certain laws of Amo Ivriya that are specific to a woman, to an Amo Ivriya. But most of those... we'll see as we go through. But the psukim that teach us those things, barring those psukim, we would say this is part of the same category. An Amavriya is a female Eved, no difference. And that's what comes out of this. So what I'm trying to illustrate here is this is not just a technical process of where do we get this from, where do we get that from, where do we get that from. This is an exploration, and when the Gemara does this limudim, that's what it's really doing. This is the way the Gemara explores whether four different ideas are one idea or they're four ideas. And one of the most important parts of halacha is the ability to know when two or three or four different things are in fact one, and sometimes one thing is in fact four things. It looks as if it's one thing, but it's different. It's two different things. Those abilities to be to be mavchin are one of the most important parts of learning. Is to be able to take an idea and say, are these four different ones, or is this one? Is this one concept? How do we work with this conceptually? The very first thing the sugya establishes when we're going to be working with this conceptually, we're working with one concept. That's Eved Ivri. Subsections, but it's an Eved Ivri. That's the concept we're going to be working with over here. And as I said, the next piece of Gemara challenges that. Now, there's just one other piece that I want to look at that over here, and that is a very key issue around the Rashi on the Hefta, because that Rashi is difficult. Shemegaraz pidyonah, that Rashi, it's about eight or nine lines from the beginning of the Gemara in the Rashi. Shemegaraz pidyonah, that she makes a deduction from her pidyon. If he bought her for 300, she's worked and she was going to work for 3 years. She's already worked for 1 year. Then he gives her back, she basically gives him 300 minus the 100 for which she's already worked, and he's engaged in that calculation. Since it doesn't say it in the passive form, that he too has to make a contribution to the pidyon. Alma bekesef niknesa, you see that she's acquired bekesef, because if she wasn't bought with money, what is he giving her off? What is he deducting? She's paying him, and why? And what is he taking off? What is the calculation? If there wasn't initially a calculation of money,
there was like a no early termination clause.
The question is, if there wasn't even a transaction of money, if he just, you know, the father, it was a friend, and the father said, "You can have my daughter. I hope you marry her." And maybe there was just a kinyan with a pruto. They just did a small kinyan. He gave her a small amount of money. And now, there was just a shtar. There was no kinyan at all. They wrote a document. Then what is the pidyon? The fact that the Torah says that you actually calculated, he's got to deduct the amount she's actually worked. Clearly there was an initial payment. And the initial payment is now being partially refunded. There may have been a payment, but that doesn't mean it was a kinyan. Is the big question. All we can prove from here is there was payment, but payment doesn't mean kinyan. You can buy a piece of property with a kinyan shtar. You pay as well, but the price is not the kinyan. You pay over 20 or 30 years, but the kinyan's immediate. So how do we know from that the kinyan, that kesef was the kinyan, is the big question on Rashi. So we answered it with the Tosfos Harosh, where the Tosfos Harosh says we deduce that from the Eved Ivri. So the Eved Ivri Animke Lagoy, it said in the case of Pidyon, it used the word Kesef Miknosoi. So here too, although it doesn't say Miknosoi, there's Pidyon, we assume it's the same kind of Pidyon that we've got over there. And since Pidyon there was a deduction from the money paid for the Kinyon, so Pidyon here is a deduction from the money paid for the Kinyon, is the way the Tosfos Harosh works. Rabbeinu Tam learns it differently. I'm going to read the Rabbeinu Tam to you. The Ritvor brings the Rabbeinu Tam, asks the same question on Rashi, and says, "Melamed shemegarat pidyona v'yotzo bekesef." That teaches us that she goes bekesef. And we've got in our Gemara, "Melamed shemegarat pidyona v'yotzo." It's not impossible that Rabbeinu Tam had the word bekesef in the Girsa, but if he didn't have it, he certainly added it in interpretation. Melamed shemegarat pidyona v'yotzo bekesef, meaning she doesn't. There's no other kinyan, because now there also has to be a kinyan. When a woman leaves a marriage, what's the kinyan? There's a get. If a slave leaves a balabos early, there's a kinevet kanani get cherus. What is there? There's a get shikru. There's a shtar. How does this young girl pay and leave? What's the kinyan? Says Rabbeinu Tam, the kinyan is the money she gives back to the odin. So she's getting out with kesef. Uchashem shekoyno atzma bekesef, kach niknes bekesef. And since she gets out with kesef, so she gets in with kesef. And you remember last time, Rachel made the comment that it's interesting that we learn the dinim of how you become a slave from how you get freed. That it's almost as if the origin of the halacha is in pidyon. The roots of it is in pidyon. The whole thing is learned from how you're freed. So since she is freed with a kinyan kesef, because there's no other kinyan mentioned in the Torah, we must assume that she can also be acquired with a kinyan kesef. And then the Rabbeinu Tam adds something amazing. Ve'eved ivri nami shekoina es atzmo bigeroin kesef ke'amo ha'ivriya. And we can then assume the same with an eved ivri. That the eved ivri goes out with kesef, he probably is acquired with kesef as well, nikne bekesef. So, initially, according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's been a switch in the Gemara here. Initially, we wanted to learn what was the origin that an eved can be nikne bekesef was from the word miknosa. If it's the word miknosa, asks the Gemara, that won't apply anywhere else. Says the Gemara, no, but you see from an amo ivriyo that she goes out bekesef. And now that we know that an amo ivriyo goes out bekesef and therefore she went in bekesef, we can assume the same with the eved ivriyo nimke lagoy. Because there too we said bekesef miknosa, there's a payment. We don't have to rely on that word miknosa, which is ambiguous. We can now learn it from amo ivriyo. Do you see what Rabbeinu Tam is? Rabbeinu Tam is now saying the source is now Amo Ivriyo. From Amo Ivriyo we learn Eved Ivri Anim Kalagoi. That's the source. And you remember, I said to you last time that Unklus translates Kesef Miknosoi as Kesef Zvunohi, the money with which he was bought. And I pointed out that Unklus is therefore not saying it's not Kesef Kinyan, it's Kesef the price, the money with which he was that he paid for him. According to the Maskona of the Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we don't learn from Kesef Miknosa. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we learn the whole thing from the Hefto, Melamed Shemegaraz Pidyona VeYotzo BeKesef. The Hefto teaches us that she goes out with Kesef, which means that Eved Ivri Anim Kelagoy also goes out with Kesef. And if he can go out with Kesef, he can come in with Kesef, and that's the way we have it. So the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is where's the source of the whole din. According to Rashi, the source of the whole din is Eved Anim Kalagoy, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, the source of the whole din is Amo Ivriya.
And they both agree that the Gemara then goes on to try and connect the other two cases.
The other connections will be the same. It's just a question of where's the source. Where is the source of Kesef?
From the way that Rabbeinu Tam learns it, it would have been more logical for the Gemara to have started off with that case, though, with the Amma, and then work back the other way.
Yes, but except that
is more logical.
The sequence is more logical. The only thing is, if you look at the Chumash, Kesef Miknosa, we see the word Kinyan, so it's the most obvious. As you go through the Psukim, the thing that stands out is, there's a word that looks like Kinyan over there.
They give the first answer, and then reject it, and they give a second answer. Second answer is a good answer.
So we try with the first answer. So according to Rashi, we build on it. We try the first answer, and we extend it to the Amo, and we extend it to Eved Ivri Nimkal Yidei Beisdin, Machru Beisdin, and we extend it to Amo Echeres Atzmo. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we started off saying it was from Kesef Miknosa, but we end off saying it's all from Amo Ivriyo, and from Amo Ivriyo we learn it to Kesef Miknosa. So if we take that a little bit further and try and understand it conceptually, so what the difference would be is, where did the Torah institute the principle of Niknef, of Kinyan Kesef? Did it institute the Institute of Kinyan Kesef by a man who's desperate and sells himself to a goy? But that's where it all starts from, that you need to be able to sell yourself to a goy. That would be, and since a goy can only apply to Kesef, that's where it all starts. Where did it really start from? Or did the idea of Kinyan Kesef start with an Amo Ivriyo and project from there? And why would Kinyan Kesef be so important for an Amo Ivriyo? Since it's not Kiddushin. So these are ways to deal with financial desperation. These are ways to get out of financial desperation. Because when a person sells themselves, they're not only getting money for the sale, they're also relieving themselves of costs. That's the important part of it. So Eved Ivri is, if we say that the Eved Ivri, that the origin of it was an Eved Ivri and Moichers Atzma Legoi, that's the most desperate example. The last thing a person would do would be to sell himself to a non-Jewish person where he loses contact with the Jewish community and so on. That's the last thing he would do. So that's the most desperate of all. And in that state of desperation, Kesef Miknosa, we understand that there is money payable, that it is possible to monetize the human being, and that's where the idea of Kinyan Kesef is first applied. Or do we say no, the idea of Kinyan Kesef is first applied with an Amo Ivriyo. And that might in fact be, the origin of it might be because we have Kesef B'Kiddushin. We know that a woman, that mechanism applies. So we're just going a step further and saying, just as an Amo can sell herself as an Isha, or a man, a father can sell his daughter as a wife, hand her daughter over as to a husband as a wife using kinyan kesef, so you can do it for avdus, and if you can do it with your daughter, you can do it with yourself, and so the rest of them flow out. So there's a difference in concept as to where the source is, but the important thing though is according to both Rashi and Rabbi Natan, of course all of these four types of avodim are classified as one. They have one, or the halachas come from one source and one origin, and that's the din of.
Could it be an argument though of which case is the least obvious, and therefore the case the Torah brings as the example, because you can learn out the other ones from that case? Arguing that.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. So you would say, according to Rashi, the biggest chiddush would be in the case of Eved Ivri Hanimka Lagoy, but it doesn't seem to be, because the Gemara is arguing that's the least kiddush, because the Goy has no other way of buying. And Amu Ivri is the least kiddush because there's kiddush.
It's not that necessarily that the Torah is obvious which one it is, but the chiddush is that if the Torah didn't say it, you might not have thought it. That the Torah had to make it obvious.
Yeah, but we see from the Gemara that it's not so, that it's the other way around. That this you could have worked out. If you knew that there was one type of Eved that could be sold with Kesef, you would have said that Hanim Kalagoy.
Well, I'm saying because the Torah says it explicitly.
No, but if the Torah said there's one that can, you don't know which one. If the Torah just said there's one that you can use money for, which one would it be? Logically.
I'm not saying you can use money. Which one could you be sold as a slave? You might think.
Yeah, but we're not going into the.
You might think the Torah might not let you sell yourself as a slave to a girl.
Yeah, but we're not going into the origins of slavery. That you can sell yourself as a slave, we know.
Okay, that, maybe they're saying that selling yourself to a goy is the biggest chiddush, that the Torah lets you do that, whereas
that you're allowed to sell yourself to a goy is such a big chiddush, and that's where the Torah gives the law of kinyan kesef. So that you should know it then to other laws of slavery which are less chiddush. That's what you want to say. Maybe. That's the piece of Gemara. The next piece of Gemara we'll see, if we understand it along the same line, if we learn it along the same lines, the next piece of Gemara challenges that again and once explores more deeply. Is this really in fact one set of four? Or are these four different sets? And if they're four different sets, what is the linkage and how do the kinyonim work will be the next piece of Gemara, which we'll do in Mitzvah Hashem next week.
Thank you.
Yeah.